change.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Michelle, could you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Sure.
Because you've been out of the country.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let the record show that all the directors are here tonight. And let's open with public comments. That's hard to believe. Oh, there we go.
Hi, Stacey Cannon from the LA County side of Ridgewood. I did pick up the letter in the back. First off, I want to say thank you. You are Wes, right?
Yes.
Thank you for the back and forth today. I didn't expect as prompt replies as
My
you
pleasure.
Had. And I appreciated you answering them. I have one statement and then one question. Even the last letter in the back calls this the dump card program, whatever you want to call it, as a tax instead of a fee. It's always been my understanding that a tax takes two-thirds of the voters to approve a new tax on people. So that's my first thing. The second thing is, I think at this point, the Ridgewood CSD has an opportunity to make, okay, I have too many things going on in my head. As I stated at the other meeting, and I think as you could tell from the train of thought from going back and forth, yes, we got included in the Ridgewood CSD. I still don't think that was a fair way to go about it because there was 126 voters from when I contacted the Department of Elections in LA County, and of those 126 people, 23 said yes and 25 said no. So if LA County was able to vote on their own and, you know, have a fair, equal shot as the people in San Bernardino County, it wouldn't have passed in LA County. But based on the sheer numbers that San Bernardino County had 2,625 registered voters, there was no way, even if all 126 of us said no on the other side, the measure still would have passed. So I feel it's an overreach on one county trying to incorporate and get tax revenue from residents in another county by incorporating that. The other question I had, and maybe you can answer it because I know it got late, but and again, I do appreciate all the time she responded back today. I would have emailed directly, but I didn't have your email, but I appreciate that you took the time to do that. It's my understanding that dump cards were just issued for San Bernardino County that
right.
go from July 1st to June of 2018.
That's right.
So if the CSD is going to take over that program, you said it was just simply an easy transfer of money because the state collects it and then remits it to the Ridgewood CSD. But because those cards have already been issued for that calendar year, is the... that would then be money you have to try to get from San Bernardino County. Is that correct?
Well, I think it'd be good that we should probably do that during the hearing, don't you think, Steve, and just go over that during the hearing?
Yeah, so typically where we are on the agenda right now is public comment, and then once public comment is complete, then we'll have a public hearing, and then we can respond to any questions after.
Okay, so should I ask all my questions now, and then you can respond to them during? Okay. So is there... how would they get the money from the county for the cards already issued?
Right.
Since the county has issued those cards, there's going to be an interim period where if they're used during that time, obviously the county has to make those fees. Have you looked at the logistics of how that's going to work? If the county has already issued cards, cards could already be used. I just would like clarification of how all that's going to work. You know, when would
yeah.
the cards be in the domain of the Ridgewood CSD.
Okay.
Let's see if I have any others. Because I don't want to get back up and forth like that. I do think there's a lot of unanswered questions as to how it's all going to work. Regardless of the points on both sides, assessing the fee to LA County residents, instead of assessing the fee to LA County residents, perhaps the CSC should concentrate on resolving the issue within San Bernardino County before then imposing it on those of us in another county. And I do appreciate your guys' time, so thank you.
Okay, thank you.
John Lanou, I'd like to make a few comments on this subject. First of all, we heard quite a few pros and cons at the meeting last week, so there were many good issues on both sides, but I think something to think about is that I know myself, being a senior citizen, why I pay school taxes. I paid school taxes all my working career. We all do, whether we're married, whether we have children, whether we don't have children, whether we're seniors, we all have to pay the tax. And also, I pay the tax here in San Bernardino County for the children's park. I don't necessarily use the children's park, but I pay my fair share of taxes. I don't use the skateboard park that we're supporting, but I pay my fair share of taxes. I think that this is not LA Wood or San Bernardino Wood, this is Wrightwood. And we all need to work together, even if we're of two separate counties. We all need to pool our funds, and we all need to support this agenda. And we need to vote. I believe that the board should vote in favor to authorize that they establish a collection of solid waste management disposal fees on the LA County. So that's all I have to say for now. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Good evening, Brent Cannon. I live in the LA County side. My wife just spoke. I wasn't going to say anything tonight, but with what was just said, I must. We live in LA County. We don't live in San Bernardino County. I'm going to ask each and every one of you sitting up here, if the role was reversed and I was sitting up here and you lived in LA County, how would you feel about what you're about to do to us? Thank you.
Thank you.
Matt Fairchild, LA County resident. I too pay taxes. I too pay taxes for a park that's not near me, but doesn't matter. Taxes are paid. Pay taxes on schools, also there. I also pay taxes, the portion of my taxes goes to LA County Fire. But I also, on top of that, pay taxes for Wrightwood Fire. I don't like taxes. I don't want extra taxes. There's a purpose for taxes, but it's not to just accumulate money for more programs. I also don't appreciate a larger neighbor forcing themselves upon me. I have no appreciation for that whatsoever. LA County has zero representation up here. We don't have a voice in the CSD. None of you are from LA County. We don't have the opportunity to protest. We're just this little stepchild that is really not respected. It's, you'll do it my way, and tough. And I just want to register my protest to the tax, but I realize there's nothing I can do about it.
Thank you.
Surprise. Hank Hallmore. By definition, this letter here identifies the SWMD, or solid waste tax. By this letter from LAFCO identifies the SWMD as a solid waste tax. And by their own analysis, they say here in the plan for services and financial impact, phase two, the SWMD predates Prop 218 and therefore cannot be raised without election. And that means the people who are being affected by it. So you're administering an extra tax on LA County, and it is by Prop 218 states that you cannot do that without approval of two-thirds people. And it does say that the USW, Waste Management, whatever, could, the operative word here is, could be implemented to enable L.A. County to participate. It doesn't say that you have to, it shall. It says you could, so that gives you the option of not doing it. Also, on page 5.3b, again it says, no taxes can be imposed unless approved by two-thirds votes of those affected. Those affected are L.A. County. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Let's move on to item four and open the hearing for proposed adoption of resolution of the established fix and levy solid waste management disposal facility fee on certain real properties within the district located in the County of Los Angeles.
I think it's just a matter of asking if there are any additional comments.
Is there any beyond that? But we should probably try to answer.
Formally open the hearing. Taking the additional comment and then close the hearing. And
okay,
respond to
I'm opening the hearing, and if there's any comments, please come to the mic. All right, closing the hearing. Item five, discussion of possible adoption of resolution 2017-2, authorizing the establishment and collection of solid waste management disposal facility fees on certain real properties within Los Angeles County for 2017 and 18.
I'll start, if you don't mind, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the community. First of all, I just want to thank all the comments that were received in connection with this action. That's an important part of the process. And it certainly helps trying to refine the issues and to try and get the answers necessary for the board, to provide the board with the information to make an informed decision. So following the public hearing on Thursday night, I placed a call into LAFCO and set up a lunch meeting with Ms. Rollins McDonald and asked board president, Director Lopiccolo, and the general manager to attend, which they all did. We met with the LAFCO executive officer, and it was a very good meeting, and she had indicated that the procedural steps that LAFCO had taken in connection with the adoption of three resolutions. I wasn't aware that there were three resolutions that were adopted, but there were three in connection with this, as well as an election that was held in March. And so what she did was she provided me with what I call the missing link resolution, which is resolution number 3235. So what LAFCO did was in July, It adopted a resolution which initiated the process. That process included notifying all of the property owners within the proposed CSD, which includes the LA County area, of the proposed action, which included notice that the San Bernardino County tax would be considered for inclusion on the LA, on 100 or so properties on the LA County side. A notice was mailed out on September 1, 2016, where there was a public protest hearing that was then held on September 22, 2016. Following that public protest hearing, the LAFCO board, not this board, the LAFCO board, determined that there was not a majority protest. And adopted resolution 3235. That resolution then initiated the process for an election to be held within the proposed CSD boundaries, which took place on March 7, 2017.
on whether or not to form the district according to the LAFCO resolution, which included the idea that there would be this solid waste disposal fee levied on the properties within the CSD that are in LA County. That election, the votes in that election reflected voter approval, and so LAFCO then moved forward with the final adoption of Resolution 3245 on May 25th, 2017, and that then also confirmed the election of the five members on this board, as well as the effective date of this district on July 1st, 2017. So before you, and also back there, is a modified version of the resolution, which includes three new recitals based upon this new information. And specifically, I want to point out, they are the third, fourth, and fifth recitals on page one. And those recitals state that on or about September 1, 2016, LAFCO issued a further notice to all property owners within the boundaries of the district that a public protest hearing on the proposed reorganization would be conducted by LAFCO on September 22, 2016. Said notice expressly stated that, quote, the reorganization proposal includes the assignment of the existing solid waste land use services special tax to all parcels within the boundaries of the district for funding dump card for use at the County of San Bernardino transfer station or landfill. And that should be an R right there instead of an F. Or landfill. This special tax is currently assessed at $85.14 without allowance for annual increase. The fourth recital, the new recital, says on or about September 22nd, 2016, LAFCO conducted a duly noticed public protest hearing on LAFCO proposal number 3202 and determined in section 1 of LAFCO resolution number 3235, adopted on September 26, 2016. That, quote, the value of written protest filed and not withdrawn by registered voters at the conclusion of the protest hearing represents 1.74% of the registered voters as verified against the record of voter registrations on file, totaling 2,535, below the threshold to require termination of the proposal. The value of written protest filed and not withdrawn by landowners at the conclusion of the protest hearing represents 0.94% of the landowners, representing 1.22% of land value as verified against the current assessment roll. And then the fifth, whereas pursuant to resolution number 3235, an election was held within the district boundaries on March 7, 2017 to determine whether resolution number 3227 ordering the reorganization to include formation of the district and dissolution of CSA 56, known as LAFCO proposal number 3202, should be approved subject to the terms and conditions as more particularly described in the order. So those recitals reflect additional background information, more predicate materials to support the position that the LAFCO executive officer conveyed, as also reflected in her letter, that LAFCO has already conducted the procedural steps necessary to move forward with this resolution and move forward with the adoption of the solid waste services fee on the properties within LA County that are within the district. Of course, the board has discretion to decide not to move forward with the adoption of this resolution. There isn't anything that compels the board to do that. But as far as the procedural steps to get to this, it's already been done by LAFCO.
Okay. I have a question about the protest hearing. The number, the 1.74% of the registered voters who protested, is there any breakdown of which county those residents came from? By my calculation, that's 123 people. Is there any record of who those people were or which county they came from or any way to assess if 100% of that group was LA County or if a handful was? Or
that's not contained in the LAFCO resolution.
Okay.
LAFCO may have that information, and but it's not reflecting.
Okay, and I said the wrong number. That's actually 44 people, based on the quick calculation I did. So I'm sorry, I said 123. It was the wrong number. Okay, thanks, Steve.
So that hopefully answers the some of the procedural questions. There was a really good question also about the San Bernardino County dump carts and the mechanism moving forward there to collect those monies. And the point that was raised was very valid about the process. I've been through that process with Ellendale CSD, and what it requires is the negotiation of an agreement with the County of San Bernardino, working with County Council to enter into a fee transfer agreement. And so there will be some contractual negotiations that will need to take place. Hopefully we can get that accomplished, this again on the San Bernardino County side, hopefully get that accomplished before November when the assessments are levied. But that will certainly be the next step after August 10th. Will be to try and negotiate those contracts. My guess is that the County of San Bernardino will want to hold on to as much of that money as possible for the very reason that was represented about the fact that they've been servicing those dump cards since July 1, but that will be part of the negotiations that take place with the County of San Bernardino. And I'd be glad to try and answer any other questions.
Okay, I think also at the last meeting there was a little bit. I'd like to clear up this issue of double taxation. There were some people that said, hey, we're already being charged for solid waste. So we finally had a LA County tax bill, property tax bill here. And it does say solid waste fee for $3.51, which seems pretty low. So, Natalie called on this. There's a number next to every fee on your tax bill. We had to provide that for the San Bernardino County. We had to provide a number for that. So Natalie called that number. Why don't you tell them, Natalie, what you found there?
The solid waste fee that's identified on the annual tax bill it's actually a household hazardous waste fee that is charged by LA County Public Works, is not charged by LA County Solid Waste. And this fee actually goes to put on programs for recycling efforts in LA County. It's, household hazardous material disposal days, recycle days, Christmas tree recycling or disposal, and advertising for LA County recycling events. So that's specifically what that solid waste fee is for. It's rather confusing because it says solid waste fee, but you can call this number and verify what I'm saying. And also, you can call 888-CLEAN-LA and choose option 6, and it will explain the fee of $3.51. And that is just on residential parcels, the $3.51.
If I may tag on to that, part of the backup material that was also sent to me by LAFCO included a report that came from LAFCO staff prior to the adoption of the resolution in July of last year, the very first resolution. And that staff report talks about the performance of solid waste services in LA County. And this is what the LAFCO report says. The response received from Los Angeles County identifies that the inclusion of residential customers under the Wrightwood CSD in this proposed franchise with CRNR does not pose an issue. This portion of the area is not within the county's residential trash franchise or garbage disposal district. However, Los Angeles County has identified that any franchise service contract proposed by Wrightwood CSD, including bin and roll-off rentals, should be non-exclusive in order to avoid conflict with the existing Los Angeles County commercial waste collection franchise. So that will be part of our negotiations with CRNR moving forward. But as far as whether or not LAFCO felt there was any type of double taxation that would take place by virtue of the action being proposed tonight. LAFCO stated back in July of last year that that would not take place.
Right. Okay. Hank, did you have a comment?
Yes. I was present at that vote that you referred to. It was my understanding
hey,
that
can you,
it was
can you, I'm sorry, can you speak in just so we get it on the record?
Oh, I was present at that vote that you referred to that LAFCO was reviewing. And my understanding was it was only a vote of the property owners, no one else.
The LAFCO resolution broke down the results based upon not only property ownership but voter registration. And so the notice, let me get a copy of the notice. So the notice that was sent out was on September 1, and it talks about the protest hearing and how to file a protest. And the language of the protest notice says, any registered voter or owner of land within the territory proposed to be reorganized may file an official protest. So they allowed both landowners and voters to file protests, and that's why Resolution 3235 breaks down that vote based upon both land ownership and voter responses.
I have one other comment, and this was taken from the documents that you guys handed out called What is a CSD and How to Form a CSD? Page 4, 2D. You must comply with the requirements of notice of intent to circulate a petition, which requires 25% of the voters to approve. To my knowledge, there was never a petition circulated in this community to get support, a 25% support of the issue of formation. It was my understanding that, and I've not found any way to document this, that the county supervisor can make a resolution and bypass that. Well, that doesn't seem really fair. So I'm questioning whether this CSD has been formed legally. Thank you.
I would like to jump on. Hank, we discussed that numerous times. There are two routes to that, and one is by petition and one is by resolution of the supervisor. It's not either or, it's one or the other. So, sorry, that did not sound right. It's not, they don't cancel each other out. You can choose either option. So it's not that, your point was that there was an illegal action and we went by the proper channel.
Excuse me, it states here that you must comply. There's no choice. It says you must comply with the requirements to file a notice of intent. Plus, I would appreciate it if you would send me a copy of the documentation that justifies you using resolution to bypass this compliance.
I would be happy to send that to you.
Thank you.
Brent Cannon, and I kind of feel like we're beating a dead horse here, but nonetheless, being an LA County voter, we were not permitted to vote here in Wrightwood this year. We got a letter, and it said you had to vote by mail or vote at the LA County station. We couldn't come to Wrightwood to vote, which is different than what it had been previously. Now, when this CSD thing all started, we were like halfway, you guys were halfway into it before we ever found out anything about it. I am wondering if we were ever given proper notice by the CSD in the first place. Because of the irregularities in our voting, they may not have showed us as even being a voter here in LA County. So, I mean, that's just, this whole thing, I mean, we knew coming into it, you guys have already made up your mind, you're going to do what you're going to do, and we're screwed. But at least we've had the ability to go on record and say that it's not right. You're taxing us in a county that we live that's different than the county here. I could go on and on. But the bottom line is,
I'm just wondering if the proper notice was given in the first place, because like I say, we didn't find out anything about this till much later than when this original notice was supposedly sent out. So.
I think you make an excellent point in that you are able to come here and you do have a voice because of the CSD, whereas you really didn't in LA County before. And now you do, because it's all one CSD.
We weren't being taxed in L.A. County, over and above what we were
already
paying.
I understand.
We only pay more taxes than San Bernardino County does by a considerable amount, because we live in L.A. County. I'd be more than glad to pay the San Bernardino rate for where I live.
Thank you. Well, so there was the issue of double taxation. That was a big deal for us in the last meeting, because there were several directors that were not liking that idea. But I think that's been put to rest. Any other comments from any other directors on this?
I will make the comment that that was one of my issues with double taxation. I don't think that's fair, and that has been resolved for me that is not double taxation.
Okay. Natalie, are you all right with that? With that issue?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I agree with that. I was glad that I called that number to find out that it was 351 and what it was for. Even if it was 351 for a solid waste fee, it would make a difference in my thought process, but that it went to Public Works made a difference for me.
Yeah. Okay.
And if I could say, Mr. President, I really appreciate the resident that provided that information so we get some good clarity, because that was a concern of mine as well
in
the last meeting. So I think that's been resolved now.
Yeah, I agree. Do we want to take action on this resolution? Do I have a motion to pass a resolution?
I will make a motion to pass resolution number 2017-2.
Second. I'll second the motion. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 All those opposed? The motion carries.
We don't get to vote? We don't have a
say. Item 6, discussion of possible action of general manager spending authority. This is to give our general manager Al the ability to fix small things such as the electrical problem we had, Al, and get somebody over there to get some of this stuff repaired. And I just wanted to bring it up, or Al wanted to bring it up at the meeting.
Yes, there are several items. Let me step back a little bit. Starting Tuesday morning, I started looking at the facilities and doing other things for the district.
Can you pull the microphone a little bit closer?
I started doing things for the district. And I've found a number of things that need to be repaired or replaced, that are not necessarily high-dollar items, but they're some of the safety items. One was the lights in the men's restroom outside weren't working, and it wasn't a matter of replacing bulbs. It was an electrical problem. So I had a contractor come in and actually fix the problem for $105. Okay. I did that without authority, so to speak, because it was a safety issue. And I just felt that if the board didn't go with it, I think that would not work.
Oh, okay.
That's fine, too.
It was not approved.
That's fine, too. But we do have other issues that need to be resolved. I'm getting some estimates on some things. One of the issues is in the kitchen. There's a dish sanitizer. Not a dishwasher, it's a dish sanitizing machine that I guess needs a couple of parts. I had Dan Campbell will come out and take a look at it. He can't repair it because he's unable to get the parts through his resources. But he referred me to somebody else, and they said they couldn't get it from parts either. So I need to find somebody to repair that unit. The county was well aware of the dysfunctionality of this particular unit. And the last two inspections that they had at the kitchen, they were written up about the same unit for the same reason. And we have an inspection coming up this month that we don't have a date on that.
So it may not be able to keep the A rating, for example.
Correct.
Yeah.
Or there might be some other things that might happen, so I might be able to get that fixed. There's some things with the restrooms outside that I'm getting some quotes on from a contractor that if the quotes are low, that would be okay. If the quotes are moderate or high, I need to bring them to the board. There's some features. But I'll cover some of that in my general manager's report. In fact, I can cover it now. The outside restrooms, if you open up the utility closet, okay. the drainage is set about 3 foot high instead of low to toward the ground where gravity works. Okay, it's set high, and it's hard to get over these lines. Okay, now I could have a platform builder build a platform, but through the years, what's happened is whoever's had access to that have stepped on the drainage pipes, and some of those pipes have gotten twisted out of alignment. That needs to be realigned because we have toilets that are stopping up. We have other things that are habitually happening that could probably be rectified if we had the septic system.
I will say. I mean, those restrooms. I cannot. I didn't think we'd spend so much time thinking about it and going over it. I mean, it is. They get an amazing amount of use. I just had no idea.
Yeah. Literally hundreds of people per day,
right?
Without a special event, that are using these restrooms out here.
Without a special event, and then when you get a,
I'm sorry,
no,
they're being used for commercial use from businesses in town too. I mean, it's not just public people coming through.
I was here. I can't remember which day it was. I think it was Wednesday of last week. Being the custodian out there, I was here at 7 a.m. And there are people who are hikers off of the Brightwood Trail.
Right.
I think it's kind of a pit stop for them. Mm-hmm. And they do their thing, they come in, they do whatever they need to do, and tally ho. And there are other people who appear to be on their way to work that came in and used the facility, ate a shingling, a wide variety of people. Yeah, there's a few transient people, but the vast majority of them are not transient people. Using the system or anything like that.
It's just a lot of people.
It's just a number of people all the way along.
And so really, I mean, to get back to this issue of you need some spending money to fix the small things in a timely manner.
Correct.
Okay. And so what do we want to allow for that? What would be a good...
Do you have an estimate of how much you need
now? $100,000. Can I make a suggestion, like, if it's over $250 or $300, then he's got to come back to the board to...
I think $300 sounds $300. Right to me, but, yeah.
I mean, that's...
Unless it's an emergency, because you need to be able to make executive decisions, right, in the case of a flood in the bathroom.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, another related question. Have you set up Quicken on the... I don't think you've
not
had
yet.
The funds yet to set that up yet on the
Correct.
Computer, right? Okay.
Not yet.
We only know tax right now.
We're going to need to do that soon.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a number of things. Some of it can be held off, but some of it needs to be attended to.
Yeah. Okay. How about a motion to allow $300 for Al? He can spend that money for small items at his discretion. All right.
With the caveat, if there's an emergency, and we could define emergency.
Okay.
If there was an emergency, I would make the board aware of it.
Okay.
All right. Do I have a motion to allow a $300 and can override that. I don't know how to do that, though, Steve. I don't know how do we define an emergency and all that. That seems a little tricky.
There is the term emergency is defined. There is a definition in the Brown Act for that. And so if you want to incorporate that definition, but it's a pretty tight definition, kind of I don't have the language in front of me, but terroristic activities, some sort of catastrophic event, that kind of thing. And then that allows for the board to have meetings without giving the normal 24-hour notice that you would have to give even for a special meeting. And then at a later date, what you would have to do is you would notice up a special meeting or include an item on a regular meeting agenda to ratify the action that was taken by the board with substandard notice.
Could we do something like if there is an emergency, Al could call a board member and they could a board member say, yes, I agree, this is an emergency. Go ahead, spend that $2,000.
I would say, that would be okay as subject to ratification.
Yeah.
And so that there would be some sort of transparency at the next board meeting to reflect that the full board has ratified that expenditure. I think that there would need to be some sort of ratification process afterward.
Could you write that up for us in some?
There will be a time now that we're kind of getting into the areas where some of the administrative items that the board will be tackling moving forward. Now that we've crossed the general manager hurdle and crossed the August 10th hurdle. There will be items that I'll be bringing to the board, working with your general manager on. One of them will be a purchasing policy. As a CSD, you're subject to the public contracts code, which means that for contracts over $25,000, that you have to competitively bid it through public works contracts, and then you'll have to develop for contracts that are not public works contracts your own policy for that. And as part of that policy, there will be a procedure for contracting, and then through that procedure, you will identify what amount you're giving your general manager authority to spend on his or her home, and then you also identify what the emergency procedures are for going outside of that limitation.
Okay, well, let's just do the $300. Limit right now, and then we'll add on that other part later.
That would be
under the general policy, yeah.
And what would happen if we had some major plumbing issue and then our next special meeting was a week away? We would call a special meeting in order to approve a payment of over $300 for the plumbing that was going off in the bathroom.
I think I would just throw it on my Amex.
Why don't we just put the exception of plumbing? I'm trying to think of another emergency that would really cause us more damage by not approving the payment.
Well, you could allow for just a bigger payment. You could say, $1,000.
I don't want to give Al free reign.
Well, this is the problem.
Well, you for now, I think it would be. I think the emergency exception would be fine. I think we'll bring back a policy in due course, and I'm hopeful that we won't need to go into too much definition now on that issue until we can bring a full fledged policy back to the board. I recommend the emergency exception, but I think you can hopefully trust your general manager not to go too far afield with that exception.
Right. Okay. All right, do I have a motion to allow Al to, or the general manager, to spend up to $300 without coming to the board?
Subject to emergency exceptions.
Subject to emergency exceptions.
I second that.
I will make the motion.
All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, the motion carries. General manager report, which we already did some of it, I think.
Right, I just have a few things. To add to this election of them. What I've been doing the last few days.
A little louder now.
A little louder. My singing voice. John Lanou and I met on Saturday at the museum, and we went through the facility. A few things I wanted to point out is one, and it's not just their organization. It appears that there were a number of organizations. I need to go through the file and find out who. But I really don't have a rental agreement or some sort of a lease agreement, long-term or short-term, with us. Their last agreement expired in 2005. And, I'm not going to kick them out or anything, but I think we just need for proper reasons.
You just need to formalize it, huh?
Formalize it, yeah. And bring an agreement together and update and that type of thing.
Probably insurance and all those things?
Yeah, they have everything. They're fine.
Okay.
They truly are, and I really appreciate what John did with and how they're maintaining things and really on top of things. Another issue that we will need to deal with tonight, it's not an emergency, but it is an issue, is that there's a huge pine tree that is behind the facility that probably needs to be removed. I'm not sure, but it looks like it'll probably be encroaching upon the septic system over there, if it hasn't already. And there's a shed that it's actually growing into that we need to segregate to.
Okay.
Which facility is that
at? At the museum.
Do you know Mark? Mark the arborist up here? Do you know him?
No,
I can give you his number. He'll come over and look at it for free, just to look at it.
Okay.
Give us some advice.
Get an estimate so that we can in the not too distant future address the issue.
Okay.
Yeah. And again, we've talked about the outside restroom and the kitchen. Just trying to get some protocols set up. The outside restroom, we're opening about 8 a.m. and I'm closing right around 6 to 7.
Now, it was being locked up, was open 24/7.
Well, initially, actually the sign out there says dawn to dusk, or 8 to dusk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then the county couldn't keep somebody here that would open and close that facility. And so they just left it open 24 hours. And my concern is the security, that perhaps there's misuse of the facility. I don't know if there isn't, but we shouldn't leave ourselves liable, especially when the facility probably doesn't get used that much during the evening. But again, it's just a matter of protocol.
So I just want to make this comment on that I have the co-op in here every other Friday morning, and I'm here about 6:30 in the morning, and there are at least a half a dozen people every single time, probably a lot more than that, that use the restroom well before 8 o'clock. So I don't know about the evening hours, but I would definitely be in favor of having that restroom opened closer to 6 a.m.
Could you not use the facility inside?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're talking about the outdoor facility.
The outdoor restrooms. Right. So this building's locked at that point.
Oh, I think you did your co-op inside.
Oh, I do. These aren't co-op people. Nobody from the co-op comes until about 7:30. But in the hour that I am here doing the pre-setup before the setup volunteers get here, it's used frequently, and there's some real consistent users of it. Occasionally, it's the person who's here with the shuttle, but there's another woman, I can't remember what she does in town, but it's some job, and she's here every Friday, uses the restroom, and then goes on with what she's doing. A lot of times, I think it's some of the people who offer services to our community that are using it, maybe when they've driven up and are getting ready to go to a client or customer. It's definitely nobody that I would ever be concerned about. It might also be Navitat, or not Navitat, Zipline. Thank you. I'm sorry. I've not done a good job with renaming that in my head.
I just don't think we have a good handle on how much that thing is costing us. And we have worked
really
hard on that thing. I mean, Laura, my wife's cleaned it a few times. I mean, it is a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. And I totally see having it closed at night once it's dark. But because we have a lot of people that come through town on their way to work and that kind of thing, with those bathrooms closed, the only place they can stop is the Wrightwood Mini Mart. And when I first moved to town, I did a lot of commuting and leaving at 4 a.m. And, you know, sometimes you're walking out the door thinking about one thing and you get halfway through town, you're like, oh, I got a 2-hour drive in front of me. And that's the only place in town aside from the Mini Mart that would be open before 7:30. Anyway.
Well, the board, we want to keep it open 24/7.
But I definitely am not saying 24/7, so I don't know if there's a way to find somebody that can open it
earlier
in the morning.
It is really tough.
Difficulty. In the past, the county has just given up trying to find somebody to open that and that type of thing. Matter of fact, the last few people that have been hired only left a matter of a couple of weeks before they would just quit the job. Yeah.
And in speaking with Shannon, she did describe before the transition that there was misuse of the restrooms overnight, people sleeping in there, drug use, things that you don't want happening there in the middle of the night. So I'm for having it locked at night. It would be nice to have someone to open it early, but I definitely think it's more of a liability to have it open 24 hours.
Yeah, I think we should sort of limit it's just my opinion that we should limit the use until we get a handle on the thing. It's I don't know what our costs are yet. We have one quote. It's $540 per week. And, you know, we just don't have that much money in the bank yet. So it is really, you know, I kind of want to attack it from, hey, let's limit the use of that thing until we can get a better idea of what the real usage is and our maintenance on it.
And I'm looking for 2 outside contractors for a town. Excuse me. One for the landscaping on a regular basis and one for the cleaning. So I think Leo sooner or later is going to die.
So far, so good, though.
So far, so good.
John, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I know this is the manager's report time, but were any records turned over for maintenance on the septic system itself? How is that going to be addressed?
I have not seen anything, but...
I can address that. John, I put that question out there early on. I think July 4th or 5th to one of the guys... What's his name, Rick?
Tim. You asked Tim, right?
Tim. I asked Tim about that. When septic is being pumped, it's pumped every once a year. They didn't give me a date or nothing, so we're going to have to reestablish that and go from there. But there is no records.
Once a year? That is amazing. Once a year?
Once a year.
How is it even? There must be a giant hole underneath it.
And the leach lines are in the Vivianola grass area. And the 2 tanks are right out here. And there's no grease interceptor. It all goes into the one tank. So everything in this building.
Well, I think there is a grease interceptor in the kitchen, though, right? Yeah, there is. I saw it in there. Shannon pointed it out that she was not going to leave that.
So anyway, that kind of concludes my report.
Can I ask you all?
No.
Okay. How do I say this? How's it going with Shannon? How's she doing?
I think the doctors are doing really great this year.
Okay.
No, I myself with her, we're building a relationship, and she's got a lot of good knowledge that she shared with me about things that I didn't know was going on here. She's been here for 5 years, and, you know, some of the stuff I need to verify, And if there is something to some of that stuff, I'll be bringing things to the board. You know, I do have some things that are concerned that I'm working on to verify, because I don't like jumping to conclusions. You know, if somebody brings something to me, you know, if somebody from the audience brings up an issue that's pertinent, that the board gives me direction. If I hear rumor, so to speak, well, I don't take rumor for fact, but there may be some fact in that rumor that perhaps has got validity and that needs to be addressed.
Have you taken over the invoicing, or is Shannon still doing the invoicing?
She's doing that. I'm letting her do the duties that she's been doing. My primary concentration this last week has been on dealing with the tax collectors. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we did submit the paperwork to San Bernardino County this morning.
Great, thank you.
And then L.A., we're going down to L.A. tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
They have the same meeting.
Tomorrow.
Right.
That's great, thank you. And to speak on the septic records, I think that Shannon might have some knowledge on when they were pumped, or maybe even have old documentation in the office over there. She has kept folders, so she might know that.
She's been really good about keeping folders. She briefly showed them to me this was Wednesday of last week when I first met with her. And she showed me a lot of different things, but I just haven't had time to go through it.
Thanks, Al. Okay, moving on to director's comments. Is there any comments from directors?
No.
Okay, future board meetings and agenda items. I did not bring my calendar with me. Does somebody have a calendar?
Sure.
I mean the building calendar.
No, I've got it on here.
Nobody has that? You have it now? Okay.
Do you have it
in there? I have it on my computer.
Oh, you're looking at it?
I forgot everything tonight.
Okay.
Can you get it from the back office, then? Oh. Okay.
Just
thank
takes
you.
Me a while to do anything this day. See if you can read that.
Oh, there you go.
Now, this was a couple weeks ago, so there may be other things, but.
Man.
Maybe it's better just to think.
Oh,
yeah.
Can you blow that up a little? Can you make that a little bigger? I cannot see anything.
I think Shannon has been handwriting in events as they come in on the one in the bathroom.
Okay. We better get the paper copy.
Yeah, I don't know. We've been through the majority of the big items, right, Steve? What other stuff do we need to do as far as a special board meeting goes?
There are a number of items.
I was afraid you'd say that.
Well, one is your general manager is currently operating without a contract. Does that make me illegal?
Can you two please use the mic? Thanks.
So I mean, that needs to be addressed. I know there's a committee on that, and so I think that that's an issue. Now that you have a general manager, typically the general manager is also the individual that the board appoints as district treasurer. And once you identify a district treasurer, then you can establish an alternative depository. And you can, I know you have your own bank account, but you can have an official depository, and then that gets any money out of the county treasurer, which right now is your official. You're actually your official depository. So we can bring back a resolution to that effect.
We talked about purchasing policy. There's a conflict of interest code that we'll need to adopt. And I don't know if the board has any other policies and procedures, anything that the board would like to see. But that's certainly not this agenda I'm targeting for the board.
Right.
Michelle and I were just discussing the calendar and how we'd both like to see that made public, like on Google Calendar, so we have access to it and the public has access to it. That could be part of a policy decision for the future.
That seems okay. I don't know that you need to adopt a formal policy on that. That seems to me like a minute action.
Okay.
We could agendize that. The board could provide that instruction to your general manager on it. I don't think we need a formal policy on that.
Right. Okay. So what have we got for a date in the community building?
Are we looking at doing it next week? Is that best for everyone?
I think it's best for me. I'll do whatever everybody else wants.
So there's Monday and Tuesday, but Michelle, you're back at school on Monday, right?
I am.
Okay. How is Tuesday for everyone? There's a Fire Safe Council meeting at 7 p.m. at the old fire building, though. So.
Is it not open here?
It is open here. I just wanted to make it an opportunity for everyone to be here, but.
Okay. And Tuesday is good for me.
It would be Tuesday, August 15th.
That we're considering.
Okay.
Sure.
All right.
7 o'clock?
Yeah, 7 o'clock.
Okay.
If that's all there is, then the meeting is adjourned.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
September meeting.
I think.
September, right?
September 5th, yes.
Thanks very much, everybody.